Well, today our message is going to be brief, I think. It might not be, it might be long. But Psalm 100 is the one we're going to look at today. Psalm 100. I had the privilege of teaching or being in the class with that Craig usually teaches. He wasn't here today, so I just sat in there with those three teenagers. And I had the best time. I don't know what they did, but I just had a ball of going over things. And we started out in Psalm 100, ended up going through the whole book of Psalms. I taught them in Psalm 119 that the Hebrew alphabet. They said, what does all of that mean? Well, they learned the alphabet. So Damien back yonder, he's going to teach Hebrew to his folks. And back there, because he knows the Hebrew alphabet from Psalm 119, but had a great time. But we started off in Psalm 100, and this is the only psalm that actually says it's a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. But you'll find if you were to go to your Bible and look in a glossary or a concordance and look for the word thanks and thanksgiving and thankfulness, you would find hundreds and hundreds of times that the word thanks or thanksgiving or thankfulness is used in the Bible all the way through. But Psalm 100 is one of our wonderful psalms. I know y'all just got, well, you've been sitting down a while. Stand up and let's read this together in honor of Psalm 100, if you will. If you don't feel like it, just keep us sitting down. That's all right. But it's written on the screen. You can read in your Bible, but this, I noticed in our Sunday school class, one of the girls had the NIV, one of the boys had the New King James, and the other one had the King James. So we looked and compared them all, beautiful, in whatever translation you have. But we'll all have the same one if we read this from the screen. Let's read it together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. God add his blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. We're going to start over, Adam, with verse 1 there and look at each of these verses. There are five of them, and we need some way to live with an attitude of gratitude. Now, I know that's a catchy phrase, but we really do need to live with an attitude of gratitude. I was reading this week where the pilgrims, you know, when they came to America, let me see, what year was that? Somebody help me out. Come on, test time. 1492. Now that was Christopher Columbus. There you go, Ken. That's right. 1492. 1776, 1621, is that about it? 1621, the pilgrims came, and they came over. Really, they came to get out of from under persecution. There was religious persecution in England and those countries where they were from, and they wanted to be free to worship God as they could choose to do so, and they couldn't worship him in freedom in their countries, and so they just decided to get out of there and go to a land that was free, and it was, and so they came to America. There wasn't really that many of them. The first winter they got here was a bad, bad winter, and they had a real, real rough time of even living. By April of the year that they were here, there were only 50 out of the 102 that had survived. They had all died, but those 50. And so when it came the anniversary of the time when they had arrived and so forth, they wanted to have a time of remembrance, of celebration. And so some of the folks said, well, what we need to do, we need to remember all of those who have died. They came over, we worked hard, they got sick and various things, and we've buried them, and we need to have a memorial service for those that died. There were some who said, no, let's look on a more positive side, and let's honor those, let's just give a time of thanksgiving for what God has done, and he's delivered some of us alive, and we've got a future out here. And so they decided to make it a day of thanksgiving instead of a day of mourning and remembrance because of those who had died. And aren't we glad they did? Because who knows what would happen if they had just stayed down and out and blue and sorrowful because of all the troubles and the heartaches and that's all they remembered. No, they turned it around and made it a time of thanksgiving. And even some of those Native Americans helped them out, and the story goes on, and some of y'all go through that story at school and so forth, learning about what took place. But we're thankful today they made it a time of celebration, a day of thanksgiving to God for all that he had done and was going to do in their lives. Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. One of the translations they pointed out in the Sunday school class, it said, shout, shout with joy. And that word, joyful noise, could be translated, shout for joy. There is a place in our religion, in our faith, in our Christian faith, for getting happy. Isn't it good to be happy? I mean, we pay tribute to the Lord and we get happy. I'm telling you, there's Dave Bennett back there, coach down there at Mineral Springs. They got happy Friday night. Yeah, they just got so excited they're going to have to go to Earl and go up yonder and play this Friday night. They were happy. And there's been happiness around many different places because of those things. Usually in athletic events is where people get happier than almost any other time. Now, certainly when you kill that deer, you get happy, really happy, get so excited, just can't wait to tell everybody. There ought to be this kind of joy, happiness, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We sang Andrea Crouch's song, My Tribute. And when I was, I've told this before, you probably forgot it, I was the BSU director at Paris Junior College for two or three years. And so one year we decided to take our students from the junior college to Dallas, to SMU, where Andrea Crouch was the guest. And they were students from all over Texas at SMU, from the BSU groups there to hear Andrea Crouch. I'm telling you, that guy knew how to get happy. And he knew how to write songs about happiness and joy. And I looked around there, and my BSU students from those Baptist churches, they were standing up, shouting, clapping their hands, and everything else. He had them, they were all down around the stage, lifting their hands, shouting for joy. He just kept us going and going and going and going. And our kids enjoyed it so much. And I remember on the way home, they said, well, David, why can't we have worship services like this in our church every Sunday? And I said, well, it's just because we don't. We could. And everybody really kind of wishes we did. But I said, for some reason, most of the time we just sort of sit and look like we've been eating pickles all morning long because there's no real joy at all in our life there. We need to get happy. We really do. And I see some of you all, most of you sing, but some of you I have yet to hear you see your mouth move when we sing. I think you ought to do it even if you just make out. Say, I don't feel it. Well, that's all right. Do it anyway. Serving God is serving God whether you feel it or whether you don't feel it. Be smiling. Be happy. Be joyful. And usually what happens is you actually get joyful in the process of making yourself do it. It's worth it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You see, the psalmist said, all ye lands, over the whole world. And this was written about 3,000 years ago. And we noticed in that class with those three young people a while ago, David wrote a whole bunch of the psalms, not all of them, but about 3,000 years ago. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The next verse, he tells us that we are to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Singing is so important. I came up and showed out by singing that song with you all at the beginning today. But I love to do that, and you know that I do. I love. Some of these days I get to heaven, there probably won't be any preaching up there, but there'll be a lot of singing. And I'll be happy to just sing for all eternity. Out on the deer camp yesterday with three of my friends there, one of them teaches a Sunday school class, and he's taught the Sunday school class at Baptist Church in Nashville forever. Fifth grade girls. He teaches fifth grade girls Sunday, has always done that. And he said to me as we were eating them beans and cornbread and talking about that, he said, you know, he said, I just sometimes think about eternity. And says, can you imagine? We talk about living 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Lila Hallmark this last week in the nursing home at Nashville, Miss Hallmark, I had 104. Her birthday was the 7th of November, 104. That seemed like a long time. But it's not a long time. You get that washed out there. Zach, if you don't kill that sucker, we'll have a revival meeting, sure as the world. It'll be like the Pascagoula, Mississippi squirrel that got in the building. You remember that song back yonder? And started running up and down people's legs and up and down, all that kind of stuff. And people started shouting and screaming and everything and running around. And the song was, we had a revival meeting in the first self-righteous church of Pascagoula, Mississippi. Well, did you get him? Okay, y'all don't worry about that wasp. I saw him flying around over here a while ago. But don't have to worry about him. He's not around. And Zach got him. Serve the Lord with gladness. But anyway, my friend was saying as we ate those beans around the campfire yesterday, he said, I try to teach my fifth grade girls about eternity, how long eternity is. He said, you know, Brother David, he said, sometimes I just wonder, do we really believe that? He says, eternity, that's forever, forever, forever. He said, we say that heaven is eternal and we'll be in heaven forever and ever. He says, and we even tell them that there's a hell and that hell is eternal too. And there'll be a hell forever and ever. He said, that blows my mind. And sometimes he says, I wonder about all that when you think about how long that's going to be. And I said to him as we eat our beans and cornbread, I said, you know, this helps me to understand heaven is eternal, a place of joy and gladness, a place of singing and praising God. I'm sure it will be designed for eternity, not like things here. It's going to be designed in such a way we will never get bored. What could you do forever that you wouldn't get bored with? I don't know. We sure get bored here. Just one thing after another bores us and makes us sad and gets us down. But in heaven, apparently, forever and forever, there will be no boredom. It will only be joy and gladness. I'm sure we're not going to be sitting around doing nothing. I'm sure we're not going to be sitting around playing harps. I wouldn't want to do that forever. I wouldn't want to do that at all. And wearing those crazy looking crowns and those robes and all that kind of stuff. I just think of heaven, it must be a place of the most amazing creativity where God will make possible all of us, all of his children, being absolutely wonderfully happy forever and forever and forever. Makes you want to go there, don't it? It really does. And it's supposed to. It's supposed to make us want to go. Go to a place where there's no sickness, no sadness, no disease, no problems. No, it's just a wonderful place. How beautiful heaven must be, Mike. Serve the Lord with gladness. And so the reason I guess I went there is, in this life, during our lifetime, we're supposed to be getting ready for heaven. That's the whole thing. And I often think if we suddenly get to heaven and it is so different from what it's been during our lifetime in our churches down here, we're going to feel out of place. I mean, we're going to have to all of a sudden get used to some kind of praising God, shouting hallelujah, and living in joyful service just like that. I don't know about all that exactly, whether it'll be an instant transformation, but I do believe that our service here, our worship services here, we're supposed to be getting ready, preparing, so that when that day comes, we'll say, hey, this kind of deal, I used to be down there in Derrick's at the First Baptist Church. I recognize this. This is sort of on a grander scale, but it's sort of like we used to do on Sunday morning down yonder in Derrick's. That's the way church is supposed to be. Living our life, praising God, serving the Lord with gladness, coming before His presence with singing. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. You see, there is only one God. Now, I recognize that other people believe there are other gods. I know that they think there is. But we believe there is only one true and living God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. You see, we're His creation. He created us. He made us. And not we ourselves. Now, some people like to think they're self-made. But we're really not. He hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people. We belong to Him. We are His children. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Next verse. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now, I'm sure Brother Craig, he's going to be preaching for us next Sunday. And I hadn't been gone for a long time. We're going to try to go out to Oklahoma City to be at her brother's 70th birthday with all the nieces and nephews that we haven't. I hadn't seen all of them since our anniversary. And that's been 5 years ago or four. And then we're going to try, if we're able, to drive on from there on up to Colorado Springs to see our son. John and Meredith and be with them Thanksgiving week. I'm not sure I can make it. I don't know. Driving really gets me these days. But we're going to try that at least if Anna gets well. She's sick today and hopefully she'll get well by the weekend. But anyway, Brother Craig is going to be with us here and preach for us next Sunday. And I don't know why I told you that. Enter into His gates with... Oh, I know. He'll be preaching His Thanksgiving sermon next Sunday morning, I'm sure. So I hope I didn't steal His thunder. He probably won't say what I said anyway, don't you imagine? Think about what all I've said today, and he wouldn't be saying all that. But next Sunday, and then the next Thursday, Thanksgiving, a time... Aren't we glad to live in a country where we can have a Thanksgiving holiday? I'm thankful for that. It's one thing they hadn't outlawed yet. They probably will someday. Some people don't want us to do that. But I hope we'll keep on as a nation saying, and I think it was Abraham Lincoln that started this whole thing back in 1863, having a Thanksgiving time. And he said, you know, our nation needs to be thankful to God, and we need to set this time aside. We've been celebrating Thanksgiving ever since. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You see, there are a lot of things wrong with America, but there are a lot of things right for America. And if I were to sit down with a piece of paper, and on one side I would put all the things that are right with America, and on the other side all the things that are wrong with America, I haven't done that, but I'm just guessing that there would be a whole lot more right than wrong. Some people today, they're so negative and all, they just say, our country is worse than it's ever been. And they go down that long, long list of reasons why things have never been this bad. But I think that's just some negative thinking, not looking at any of the positive things. We need to think about the good things, the positive things. And there are, I would say, many more good, noble, wonderful things about America than there are bad things today. I mean, here we are worshiping God today in this place. We have freedom to do it. Nobody telling us we can't. Nobody telling us what we need to do. Nobody telling us what I need to preach. Nobody telling you what you need to believe. We have a lot of people suggesting what we might do, but nobody demanding that we do it. We still have freedom in this country. And I don't see it ending anytime soon. Now, some of y'all are negative, and you see the end coming soon to all of that. But I really don't think that we're going to see that. I still believe in America. I still believe that we have more good people in America than we have bad people. More Christian people who are trying to do the things that are right and the things that are good. If we older adults start not believing in our country and the goodness of our country and the prospect of a good future, what are we going to teach those little first and second graders and third and fourth graders if all they hear from us is a bunch of negative stuff and it's all going bad and all going wrong and all of that? Those little first and second and third and fourth and fifth graders, they don't need to hear that kind of garbage, because that's exactly what it is. It's garbage. And they hear enough of that garbage accidentally on television and so forth. But from those of us who are children of God, men and women of faith, they need to hear positive things from us. And we need to be instilling that within them. Because how are they ever going to grow up to want to be doctors and lawyers and such, and farmers and workers, proud to be Americans, proud to serve America, if all they've heard from us as older folks is all that negative, low-life stuff? They don't need that. I'm not sure they need any of that. You say, well, they need a little bit. I'm not sure they need any of that. They're too little, too young. We need to put into their minds the positive, joyful things. This is Veterans Day weekend, isn't it? Last Sunday we had a Veterans Day service. Yesterday was Veterans Day. And today we're still acknowledging the fact that our veterans and those who have died in service to our country were giving their lives for a noble cause, something worthwhile, and they did not die in vain. I don't believe they did, and I believe our country is still a great nation. God bless America. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. The last verse. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Now, if I was the pastor down in, what's that town in Texas? South. Say it again. Sutherland Springs, Texas, outside of San Antonio. If I was the pastor of that church, and you all are what's left of the, most of them were killed, weren't they? Most of them lost their lives by that madman, that evil, wicked devil who came in there and shot and killed, what, 25, injured 20-something of them. Now, on this Sunday, if I was the pastor of that church and you were the people left, and I would get up to preach a Thanksgiving sermon, and I would use Psalm 100, and I got to this verse, and I would say, for the Lord is good. And some of y'all, you've lost your loved ones, you've lost your family members, you've been in the church a couple of Sundays ago when shot and killed all these people, and you're thinking, now brother, preacher's up there in the pulpit saying, the Lord is good, and you're thinking in your mind, well, I wonder what he'd be like if he's bad, because what happened here sure don't look like it's good to me. You see, You wouldn't get up before the church and say, The Lord is good. Smile, folks. The Lord is good all the time, folks. That would be hollow. And I'm sure that preacher probably won't be saved. I don't think I would be. I wouldn't be going that route. I'd be trying to help them understand that one of the worst tragedies anywhere has happened. And all of these precious ones, even little babies, were shot and killed. And there's nothing good about that. And there's nothing noble about that. And God, I realize God is good, but how do you fit all that in with all of that? It's a deep, deep subject. His mercy is everlasting. Yes, His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. No doubt the preacher will be saying to his people today, God is in control. And they'll be thinking, well, if He is, He sure didn't show up in control the other day when He let them kill half of our people. If He's in control, He sure has a funny way of showing that He's in control. Why didn't He do something? Why doesn't He do something? We were in prayer service. We were praising God. So the preacher would be saying, like I would no doubt, and I hope I don't ever have to do this, but there is no assurance that today someone won't break in, or tonight, or next Sunday, or the next Sunday. It could very well happen here as well as anywhere else. I hope I don't ever have to deal with that subject on a local level, but we all deal with it in our minds as we're trying to fit it all together. The Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time. The Lord is in control. But look what He's let happen. He was present, no doubt. He is present all the time. Why did this happen? Why could He allow? And finally we get back to the place where I have always been. And I've had a lot of things in my life, and you have. We've seen those tragedies from the World Trade Center all the way through wars and everything else. We've seen those tragedies. And some of us still have our faith in God. Amen? Amen. Some of us still have our faith in God.
Amen.
Some of us do not allow the circumstances around us to take away our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We don't understand it. We can't explain it all. But somehow God is still good. He is still in control. There must be a plan in all of this, some way, and it'll all work out to His glory. That's pretty much what I have always believed, and I believe that you believe that also. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. One day, Jesus Christ came into this world, went to that old rugged cross. They crucified Him there, and it looked like something as bad as down in Texas, didn't it? I mean, there they were, killing Jesus. There they were, nailing Him to the cross. He was there being crowned with thorns. He was beaten and bloodied, something beyond description, before the crucifixion. And it seemed like to most of the world, it was over. It was the end. It was the worst of all things. The Son of God being crucified for the sins of man. And yet it was the most glorious day of victory in the history of the world. It's when Jesus came and gave Himself for us that we might be saved. It turned out to be the most glorious day in the history of the universe. The day that Christ bore our sins on the cross. Do you trust Him? Do you depend upon Him? Are you living for Him? Let's stand and pray. Dear Lord, we're thankful for the day that we have. And we pray that Your Holy Spirit would continue to lead in this service. That decisions that need to be made, some are lost and they want to be saved, and they can be saved today. Some are saved already and they want to be baptized. They could come and get ready for baptism and let us know that today. Some are here thinking about joining this congregation, this church. I pray that if they're being led by Your Spirit, they would do what You want them to do. Some are here just needing to surrender their all to you and beginning to live like your children in Psalm 100, serving in praise in thanksgiving. Lord, have your way in this time together, we pray in your name.